First, I want to thank this church for recognizing our service here for 43 years. Who else could have turned a six-month assignment into a 43-year stay? Your appreciation and the words and the kindnesses you show us is the most important thing in our lives. You are our best friends, and I appreciate you so much. I have looked forward to this Sunday because I started in March of 1977 as the interim minister, and I've remained ever since. When you think about 43 years, you think about all the changes in your own life and the changes in the lives of those who have grown old along with yourself. And I remember when I turned from 30 to 40, 39 to 40, I was preaching, and I preached on, I took it from the Bible, a passage that said, "Beware of the destruction that cometh at noonday," and also Jerry Lee Lewis's song, "Middle Age Crazy," and I preached on turning middle age crazy. And I was thinking about the sermon for today, and if you saw in the bulletin, I have entitled it, "Two Fears of Growing Old." Because I guess it's no secret when you put in the bulletin, "I've been here 43 years, that I'm growing old." I sympathize with those who want to be respectful, but do not know how to refer to us who are older. Even I don't know what I prefer to be called. I don't want to be called old. That has the connotation of obsolescence, being worn out. But for certain, I don't like being called young man. It seems to me that those who are about to take your blood pressure, are to take blood out of your arm, are to stick your arm with a needle, have a propensity to call you young man. "How are you, young man?" I usually don't acknowledge that greeting. I figure they think I'm so old I didn't hear them. But I don't like that reference. I'm not a young man. I have been a young man, and that is when I made the most mistakes of my life. I have earned every wrinkle and every gray hair. They are a badge of experience. And so I do not want to be patronized by calling me young man because I passed that many decades ago. I don't even enjoy being called senior citizen when they offer me a discount. And trite euphemisms such as the golden years are not appealing to me personally. And I bristle at being called old or elderly. So what do you call me? Well, maybe old school. I learned that phrase from my clients. They talk about those in the neighborhood who are old school. And they say it with some term of respect, and it's a term of endearment in their neighborhood. "Old so-and-so, he's old school." Maybe that's what I am. We who are older certainly aren't under any delusion that age does not come with liabilities. We simply want our right to have our ambitions and our dreams, and to be active and to be right in the center of the arena of life, because it's the arena of life that we are able to express our great devotions and our purposes and our energies and the worthy cause to which we are devoted. I know that in the arena of life, you experience the pain of defeat as well as the joy of victory. Anyway, that's the way I respond to my fellow lawyers at the courthouse who see me daily going about the halls of justice, and they ask, "When are you going to retire?" And I still say, well, I enjoy being in the arena. When that order comes for everyone to stand, the court is in this session, and the battle begins between two forces of lawyers, that's what I enjoy, still in the arena. But I want to speak to you today about two fears of growing old. Now, they are not the dreads and the fears associated with old age, as written in the book of Ecclesiastes. We know all those. I mean, Solomon wrote, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. Where the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the streets are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond of the tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. No, I'm not talking about those experiences that are associated with turning old. To be sure, as Solomon has written there, the changes when you get older are swift and they are significant. Irritations become chronic diseases. Death is a frequent visitor to your friend's home or to your own home. Usually, it is ascribed to John Wayne. Some ascribe it to one of the female stars, and I don't know who said it, but it's true. Old age is not for sissies. But these are not the two fears that I want to speak about this morning. The first fear that I want to speak about is the fear of being forsaken by God. And I read to you from the book of Psalm 71, of a man who actually had that growing fear. He said, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O my God. Why would a believer ever have such a thought of being forgotten by God? Well, one reason is that we experience estrangement in life generally as we get older. Now, my specialty has not been in age discrimination, but I want to tell you I have an interest in reading articles about age discrimination. The prejudice against older people is palpable every day of our lives. It's palpable in the economic world. Ageism is a dreadful foe in the employment arena. As you get older, you are made to feel of diminished value. And finally, you feel useless and worthless. Ask any man in his early 30s who's been given the pink slip by the company for which he has given himself for 20 or more years. Follow him as he is rejected again and again as too old. And maybe his knowledge is antiquated. And if he gains employment, it will not be with the salary that he requires to maintain the mortgage, the car payments, and putting kids into college. In community life, as you get older, we feel discounted by other people. Our opinions matter much less. Now, we believe, and this is our own fallacy, we believe that our value as a person is based on what we can do. I fall into that same trap just like you do. Our value is determined by others and is determined even in our own self-image about what we can do and what we can produce. And then when we can produce less, And when we are made to feel less valuable, we ourselves will feel that we have less value. Even in religion, age, discrimination often appears. For the last couple of years, I have read a weekly magazine, just started a few years ago. It's appropriately named The Week. And in the February 7th issue, there was an article about an event that happened on January the 21st of 2020, when a Methodist church in suburban St. Paul, Minnesota, asked the members of that church over the age of 60 not to come anymore and to find someplace else to worship because they planned to close it down and seek a newer, younger generation as a church. Well, that offended people who were 60 and more, let me tell you, but they shut it down anyway. It had diminished in the numbers. And the bishop, when he was asked about it, said, well, you know, the church has been paying for the privilege of these few people to meet every Sunday. We're not getting our money's worth. And I read about that. And the pastor himself was interviewed. He explained, well, Jesus said, we are called to reach new people. And so they just shut it down. And they said, you older people, go find someplace else. We're going to reopen. But we're going to reopen with a different kind of church. I am not surprised that the psalmist in Psalm 71, after going through rejection and disfavor with so much of his life, may be afraid that God would forget him also. That is the fear of old age that I most am concerned about. There's a wonderful answer to that fear, and I hope I remember it all my life. It's from Isaiah 46 and verse 4. You recall that this year in January and February, I preached on scriptures from Isaiah, and I came across this, and I marked it in my Bible. I didn't know how I would use it, but today I use it. It's Isaiah 46 and verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Marvelous answer to remember when the fear of being forsaken of God comes to us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. It is as if each person who is a believer is handed a note that reads, I will never forget you. I will never forsake you. And is signed by God. And so, as Paul says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And I want to claim that scripture too. Last week in one of his devotionals, Joe Barnett on that day reminded us of the text in Psalm 92 and verse 14. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. That's a wonderful promise. What is the second fear? The first fear is being forsaken by God. But let me tell you the second fear. And this is the fear that really stimulated my thoughts for today on this special day of appreciation to you for having me for 43 years. It is the fear of a diminished love of God. It was in February that we were singing here at this church, and the song leader that day selected a song before the communion service. That song, O Sacred Heart, Head Now Wounded. That song was written centuries ago. It's a difficult song for a congregation to sing well. We did a fair job. But as I sat on the front row of this church, and as I was reading the words and following the song, the words in that song came to me as I had never seen them before, although I have heard that song all my life. Here are the words. Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. That just struck me. Never, never outlive my love for thee. That happens. And I have been turning that phrase over in my mind since that service a few weeks ago. I have remembered many of my friends when we were young, passionate ministers. Their faith and their zeal and their devotion to the church and our Lord seemed without limit. Many of them advanced in our brotherhood beyond their years because they were so zealous and so capable. And they occupied enviable places of influence and leadership. But something happened as they crossed into midlife and later years. And some of them of that group have left the church entirely. Others have drifted into a passive membership where they may still go somewhere, but their voices are stilled by their own choice. Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. And I have asked myself, what could cause them to outlive their love for the Lord? Disappointments? Disillusionment? Some of them have lost their faith. And maybe success itself, because you see, the love of this world and the things of this world can cause one to outlive his love for the Lord. The most tragic spiritual shipwreck in the Bible is Solomon. No one loved God more than Solomon when he was young. No one has ever been blessed more by God than Solomon in his lifetime. But I read this text from 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Two fears. As I get older, the first that I would ever come to God where I would go through life in the darkness, which are oftentimes the experiences we must go through, and to feel like God has abandoned me. And the fear that somehow as I get older, I will outlive my love for the Lord. Those are two fears that I fear the most. Well, this is a day of happiness because you and I are together. I am so happy to see Margaret Winters with us today. I just now noticed Margaret. She's the only person who's been here at this church longer than I have. So we have a lot in common. So what do you call me? Don't call me young man. And don't call me old man either. Just call me old school.
To our prayer of dismissal, please have a seat for a moment. Alan, don't go too far. I want to thank Alan and Mikey because this is close to 20 years he and I have partnered here together in the ministry. And the impetus for our gathering was from a dear friend, Alan's sister, LaCrita, in Pasadena, California. She and Senator Scott, we worked together on many projects in the community throughout Southern California area. And when we moved here to Galveston, without hesitation, almost 20 years ago, Alan accepted me here into the pulpit. That's on the recommendation of LaCrita, but that's how precious and how powerful LaCrita is. But his generosity in allowing me into the pulpit without ever having heard me speak. But based on that, we have an everlasting relationship which breaks all bounds. Then Mikey, as a stalwart here at the church, along with Alan, it's a couple, a model couple for what it is to be a ministering couple. And anytime that you can just say thank you, it will be well appreciated by them, but it will never be enough to let them know how really much we love you, how dearly we think of you, and how we want to be here and constantly led by you. And one of the things I want to make sure that we walk away from here with is the notion that if there are any two more generous, more godly people on earth, I haven't met them yet. Alan and Mikey to me are very special people. Amen. And as a result of my introduction to him through his sister, LaCrita will always be very special to me because of our work together. But Alan and Mikey, thank you so very much for nothing other than being Alan and Mikey. Just the fact that you two have led us, have caused us to grow, have caused us to bond together and love each other more and more, it's because of the modeling that you presented for us. And we'll be eternally grateful to you all for that. So anytime you think of Alan, think of his generosity and his openness. Now let me share a couple of words and then we'll have our closing prayer for the food. A special thank you. Where are they? Special thank you for the Tuesday morning Bible class. Can somebody get them out? Joe, get them out of there. A special thank you for the Tuesday morning Bible class and their leader, Sister Velma Williams. She's at home ill right now, but they are carrying out their step on out, ladies, please. Step right over here for a second. I want everybody to see you guys. Yeah, Joe, clear them out. Some of them don't want to come out. Clear them out. Clear them out of there. Step right up here, ladies. Now, if you want to know who the foot soldiers are here at Broadway, this is a sample of some of the foot soldiers here at Broadway. These ladies. (Clears throat) These ladies dedicate their time, their effort, and their devotion to this church, to the members of this church, to each other, and to their leader, Sister Velma Williams, who's not here today. But please pass along to Velma our heartfelt thank you, our love for all of you, and for all you do. Even when we don't say thank you, we mean thank you. Because without you, this place would not run either. So God bless all of you. Thank you so very much. All right, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we thank you so very much for this opportunity for us, Heavenly Father, to congregate one with another and to enjoy each other's company, share your word, Heavenly Father, share your song, Heavenly Father. And for us, Heavenly Father, to be able to be examples to the world, to show the world, Heavenly Father, what it is to be a Christian and how it is that we, Heavenly Father, have bonded together in your love and bound by your love. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we partake of this meal, that we do so within remembrance of your Son, Jesus. And the example he set for us, and for us, Heavenly Father, never be misguided by any other person, thing, or idea other than the life of Christ as our model for our lives. That we, Heavenly Father, aspire to be more like Jesus. And every waking morning, we wake up and say, how can I be more like Jesus? And to live that as our preamble for the day. In Jesus' name.